In the new movie Superman Returns, Jack Larson makes a small appearance as a character named Bo the Bartender. To teenagers coming to the Superman franchise for the first time, that may not mean much. But for those of us of a certain age, the appearance by Larson is a delightful inside joke. That's because before Larson became a librettist, a playwright, a poet, and a movie producer, he spent most of the 1950s playing Jimmy Olsen in the TV series Adventures of Superman. Here's a clip from one of those episodes. Jimmy Olsen is at the office with Clark Kent and Lois Lane. He's showing off a new invention he's just bought, a portable typewriter.
Pretty nifty, isn't it, Mr. Kent? I can almost carry it in my pocket. Now, if I have any special outside assignments, I can carry my typewriter with me.
That's right, Jimmy. It looks like a good practical investment to me.
There it is. Eyewitness report of a burglary that didn't burgle too well.
Well, congratulations, Lois.
Gee, that's cute.
Cute? Can't you think of some other word to call it, Miss Lane? I don't want to be known as the boy with the cute typewriter.
I'm afraid it's hopeless, Jimmy. I once knew a woman who referred to the Grand Canyon as cute.
Well, whatever you call it, I didn't know the chief was handing out raises.
I didn't get a raise.
Then I didn't know he was handing out rich uncles.
In a way, I guess you could say an uncle had something to do with it. Uncle Sam. When I was in school, I used to buy Treasury savings stamps every week. By the time I graduated, they turned into bonds.
So you cashed in the bonds on this typewriter?
Only part of them. You see, the interest I got on my investment made the bonds worth a lot more than what I put into them.
That's very interesting, Jimmy. And speaking of learning to save, that ties in exactly with something I heard last night.
And when did you hear anything about saving last night, Mr. Kent? I was with you all the time, remember?
Yes, Lois. Well, this must have been some other evening when you weren't with me.
The syndicated Superman series, which ran from 1953 to 1959, also starred George Reeves as Superman and Noel Neal as Lois Lane. Noel Neal also makes an appearance in Superman Returns, playing a character named Gertrude Vanderworth. Jack Larson's acting career started before TV's Superman, when he was a contract actor for Warner Brothers. He gave up acting shortly after Superman because he thought typecasting was preventing him from landing good roles. Terry spoke with Jack Larson in 1993.
How did you get the role as Jimmy Olsen on Superman?
Times weren't easy with the demise of the Hollywood contract system, and I got a part in a play, and that play was supposed to get to New York. We didn't get to New York, but we played very glamorously in Los Angeles, and at that point, I was offered another stock contract at 20th Century Fox and a part in a film, and I didn't want another stock contract at a studio. By that time, I wanted to go to Broadway, New York, here I come, and I didn't have any money. You got equity minimum for doing a play. And I was offered the Superman television show, which was one of the first shows ever filmed. Nobody knew what it was. There had been no film television, only live television. And so I was hesitant to do it. And the people that wanted me very much said, look, it's like doing a Saturday morning serial. You know, for theater serials. No one will ever see it. You're a very difficult kid. You don't want another stock contract. You don't want this. You don't want that. You want to get to New York? Well, take the money and run and do this. So I signed on to play Jimmy Olsen in Superman. It didn't go on the air for 2 years. We shot that in the summer of 1951, summer and fall. And I was in New York working in live television when Superman went on the air, and it became instantly very popular, and my character became popular, and I became Jimmy Olsen.
Well, you were interested in writing, in serious acting, and here you were on Superman playing this golly gee whiz naive cub reporter. It sounds like you were really nothing like the character you were playing. Did you enjoy playing that kind of role? Did it get annoying after a while?
I loved playing Jimmy. And I now, all these years later, regard it as a fulfillment of myself as an actor. I think Jimmy was, it was my part. Being a pioneer in television like that, in film television, they were so busy technically learning how to film a show quickly that they let us all alone as performers. And they let me create Jimmy, and I had a wonderful time doing it and worked with first-rate character actors, people like George E. Stone, Sterling Holloway, Elizabeth Patterson. And you learn from these people who were major actors from the theater and in films. And I wanted to do comedy and comedy bits, and they'd let me alone. And once I became popular, they really let me alone to just do what I wanted to do. So you were like a pioneer in the early days of silent films, a two-reel comedy, doing television.
How many times were you kidnapped as Jimmy Olsen?
Oh, I don't know, probably every third show I was kidnapped as Jimmy and had a bomb. If I was ever kidnapped, I was either tied to a chair with a bomb at my feet or sealed in a room somewhere that Superman couldn't see through because there was mysterious lead in the brick or something. But that never bothered me. What bothered me was the writers and the producers they liked to have Jimmy nearly drown. And they used to like to get me wet, like put me in a cave, and the tide is coming in the cave, and the cave has bars, and Jimmy is going to be drowned. This was a holdover, I guess, from the old Saturday morning serials, as I said. And the problem with that, I never mind being wet. I'll do anything as an actor. But you get sick, because once they get you wet, if you've got work to do afterwards, you stay wet. And the next day work, if you're rescued, for instance, Superman would come in and rescue, tear back the bars of the cave and carry Jimmy out, who would say, "Golly, Superman, I never thought you'd get here in time. I thought I was a goner for sure." And I'd be carried outside dripping wet. Well, your next scenes, all your next work, the resolution, you're still wet. They come with a hose and wet you down. And I would always catch a cold. Sound stages are cold. And it drove me crazy. And they never cared. And I finally told them, it was about the second season and my 10th wet show. And I said, "Listen, I don't want to seem a spoil sport, but I don't like working sick. And I catch a cold in these cold sound stages, so quit. You can regard me from now on as a dry actor."
Years ago, it was like the first year I was in radio, it was in the mid-70s, I think. I interviewed Noelle Neal, your co-star. She was...
Oh, did you?
She was Lois Lane.
Yes, she's a darling person.
Well, one of the questions I asked her was this. I said, "I remember all these episodes where you were kidnapped and you were tied up and you were wriggling around while you were, you know, in bondage. And sometimes you'd be dressed in the chiffon robe and you were supposed to be sacrificed until Superman came and rescued you." And I said, "You know, did you ever think about the kind of S&M type of imagery that was?" And she said, "We never thought about those kinds of things."
No.
Did you really never think about those kinds of things?
No, I really didn't. I know the show you're referring to where the a ancient cult kidnapped both of us in a tomb and they stripped me. I'm in like a jock strap or something, little thing, and she's in a beautiful filmy thing and we're tied to pillars or something and they're going to kill us. And I guess it was wild S&M. I don't know. No, I never thought about it. We were too busy working. We never thought about a lot of things, you know. I always played the Jimmy dumb enough. I felt that Jimmy was so dumb that he couldn't tell Superman was Clark Kent because Clark Kent wore a pair of horn-rimmed glasses.
Right, right.
And I thought, if you're that unaware, and any kind of a thing. Once actually Clark Kent, there's one show where Jimmy's beside him and Clark Kent has fallen through his shower door and he's in bed and Jimmy seems to be sharing the apartment at that time or something. He's taking care of him and Clark Kent does not have on his glasses and Jimmy doesn't even still recognize him as Superman. And I pointed it out to the director and the producer. I said, "Well, now, you know, here we are and he doesn't have on these glasses because he's fallen through his glass shower door." And they said, "Oh, don't think about it. That's opening up a can of peas." Just play the scene, so I did.
You know how earlier you were telling us that when you started working in music, when you started working with opera and art song, that you kept your Jimmy Olsen part of your life a secret because you thought it would hurt your credibility and people wouldn't want to work with you.
Yes.
How did you keep it a secret? Nobody recognized your name or your face?
Well, people did, but they didn't. People later told me they thought I was very foolish not to enjoy it more. But they could tell. I mean, I was really scarred. I see that now. And I would never do publicity. For instance, I was certainly later when I produced a film with Michael J. Fox. I was as popular as Michael And had it been now, I would have segued right into a major film. I mean, you can hardly, if you're popular in a television series, they want you to star in a film. That didn't exist then. You were the enemy if you were a television actor or a star. And right away, it scared me in New York, as I said, when the show went on the air. And I never did any publicity. I would never pose for a picture. I would never do publicity. Magazines wanted to do articles on me. I wouldn't do it. And indeed, I never did publicity until when I said to Joffrey, this big explosion, a kind of scandal happened with the ballet, The Relativity of Icarus. And then when it all came out, and then I thought, oh, why not? Because people write about you anyway. They already were writing about me without me giving the interviews and getting things wrong. So I did it, and but you wouldn't find a picture of me for publication. I never posed for a picture in a bow tie. I wouldn't do it. And it made a very bad relationship, I can say, on their behalf. I understand their problem with this actor who they could have exploited.
Yeah. During the part of your life where you were keeping Jimmy Olsen a secret, did you make up a past or did you just not talk about the past?
No, I didn't talk about it. And all I can say is that apparently it was so apparent that I didn't want to talk about it, that people didn't talk to me about it, like Frank O'Hara, Joe LeSueur, all the people. Later, they talked about it. I think it was John Ashbery who said to me that he always was amazed I didn't enjoy it more, you know. And I was aware that people would stare at me in restaurants or people would come up and it would embarrass me to sign autographs or things. But nobody would say anything. So, and I didn't have a wide, you know, really wide circle of friends like that. My closest friend during all those years was Montgomery Clift, really. And Monty was very reclusive. And so socially, often we go out to dinner and stuff. But when you're forbidding like that, people don't bother you. And I was certainly forbidding. And as I said, when off time, I would grow a beard and do things. And I realized it was very neurotic behavior.
When George Reeves, who played Superman, committed suicide, did you understand it? Were you prepared for something like that?
I wasn't prepared for George to commit suicide. As a matter of fact, I was working in Germany at the time at a place called the Bavaria Filmkunst. I'd gotten a gig there as an actor, and my next stop was Italy, and then come back to Los Angeles to do 26 more Superman. George was doing costume fittings at the time, and I knew I had to go to work again. But I knew he was depressed. He had the same problem I had. He couldn't get a job as an actor. And so I really wasn't surprised. And he'd had a long relationship with, I thought, a wonderful woman who he split up with. They'd been together for 15 years, and I thought that might have depressed him. So I wasn't surprised. You know, I don't want to do something current affairs-y, you know, but a lot of people think he was murdered. His mother thought he was murdered. I believe Noel thinks that. A lot of people think that it was not natural, wasn't a suicide. Hmm. And indeed, I saw with my own eyes three bullet holes in his bedroom. I was one of the first people to go into the house with the woman that inherited the house, Tony Mannix, who is the woman who lived with him all those years. And I saw three bullet holes. It only takes one to... I believe he committed suicide. If you're, since I've clouded the issue and all, I could understand that he'd committed suicide, and it was one of the things that made me quit acting. I thought, I'm not going to further depress myself fighting this thing of being typed. I've got other things to do. I can write.
Thank you so much for talking with us.
Well, thank you very, very much for having me. I admire your show and you, and I'll be listening to Fresh Air as I do.
Jack Larson speaking to Terry Gross in 1993.